Hi, this is Yisachar Wartel. This week's Parsha is Parshat Ekev. I would like to speak to you about a very common phrase that we often hear. It's called Eretz Zavat Chalav U'Dvash. As you know, there are many songs sung about it, the fact that the land flowing with milk and honey. And of course, the commentaries go on many, many different paths in an effort to explain exactly what that means. And they all have their merits. So why specifically milk and honey? As we know, there are many different, you know, produce that Eretz Yisrael is known for. And why specifically milk? I mean, okay, milk is, you know, giving you know, of life, you know, whether in this case it's referring, you know, I guess to, you know, cow's milk, but, you know, it could also just the concept of nourishment, you know, like that a baby would get as well. So why did Hashem specifically focus on milk and honey? So looking at the items in reverse order, we're going to first look at honey, and then we're going to look at chalav, we're going to look at milk. And both regard the symbolic nature of fruitfulness. So davash is actually, as Chazal explains, it's not bee's honey, but rather it's date honey. Date is one of the seven special species of Eretz Yisrael and one of the five special fruits. And it's actually the only one of the five to be involved in one and only one mitzvah, which is namely the Lulavim on Sukkot. Right, that we have the palm branch, which is a date palm, and the dates then yield honey. So there is a connection between the dvash and a fruit which is utilized indirectly for a specific mitzvah, which is the lulav on Sukkot. The fruit is inherently sweet, and the Torah wants us to focus specifically upon the focus upon the sweetness. And date honey is actually one of the richest foods when it comes to sugar content and sweetness in general. And a reminder to look at everything with a positive attitude and a degree of sweetness. Milk, which primarily comes from a cow, whose Hebrew word is para, comes from the word pri, meaning fruitful. And goes far beyond that, that I'm not going to touch upon at this point in time. However, milk is, therefore, a symbolic of nourishment. The first item any human tastes is, in fact, milk, you know, from his or her mother. It is nourishment that connects the mother to the child, and therefore, in a sense, it was symbolic of the mother and child, we being the child, Hashem being our mother, and the nourishment of from the land, right? Essentially treating the land of Eretz Yisrael as a living entity. When one encounters something in life, one should approach this with sweetness. One should approach it with sweetness. But once you are open to an idea or a thought, then you become attached and it has meaning, right? So sometimes the sweetness can draw you in, but then you develop something that's a far deeper connection. And then you are able to, in a sense, derive nourishment from it. It's a part of who you are and who you want to be. And then it ultimately becomes a reality. And then it can stem from you, it can flow from you, which is the word of zavat, zavat chalav u'dvash, right? It's flowing with milk and honey. It's imbued in you, and it flows throughout your body. It flows to other people and around you. When something's important to you, you want to share it with other people. Your idea is hopefully good. It will then flow forth to others, and others will hopefully lead by your example and learn from you. Now, the last letters of the phrase, Shabbat, Zavat Chalav U'Dvash, in reverse order, are Shin, Bet, and Tav, or Shabbat. Now, Shabbat is a time to slow down and appreciate the sweetness of life, and time to look at the brachas that Hashem has given us, to internalize these brachas and to draw energy from it. So, we're going to look at it backwards. First, we want to look at the sweetnesses in our lives. Rather than focusing on our everyday mundane lives and the difficulties and the challenges we face, we're going to focus on the dvash. We're going to focus on the sweetness, what we have. Then, after we think about that sweetness, then we're going to think about the amazing connection we have to Hashem and the amazing connections we have to Yiddishkeit and all of the amazing things we have in it. And we wanted to contemplate things on a deeper sense. And then we have the ability to flow and have it pervade through our bodies and hopefully extend to the rest of our family and to others around us. And this is the beauty of the sweetness and inspirational aura of the Shabbos. It's now part of you, and then it can flow into the upcoming week and allows you to share your inspiration with others. It can carry it with you. The Baal HaTorah explains that the term Zavat Chalav U'Dvash occurs in the Torah exactly 16 times. And there's no coincidence, he says, that the exact word Shabbat in that form appears in the Torah in 16 instances. We mentioned Yetziat Mitzrayim every Shabbos, and Chazal go in many, many different directions to explain how Shabbat and Yetziat Mitzrayim are connected. But ultimately, the purpose of Yetzirah Mitzrayim was to get the Torah and then enter the land of Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is the primary place where we can receive blessing from Hashem, even though Hashem gives blessing throughout the entire world, but a special place of bestowal in Eretz Yisrael. And sometimes it may be difficult to see the blessing. Sometimes, you know, things might be, complicated. But it is a little easier, hopefully, to see on the Shabbos, and we can see how it flows, flows throughout us. And hopefully we can then take it with us through the next week, through the next year, etc. Seeing as I have some time left, I think I will speak about another inyan of Parshat Akev. So, as we know, Akev and Yaakov are the same root, Yaakov Avinu, and Chazal give many explanations as to why the root is shared, why Yaakov's connected with the word heel, but I'm going to almost look at it in reverse. I had heard an interesting shiur this past Shabbos, without getting into the specific inyan and the specific details, it had to do with the way of balancing certain aspects of life. That's always true, and obviously, as the Rambam teaches, it's very, very important to try and balance as much as you can throughout life. And mystically or Kabbalistically, the notion of balancing is symbolized by Tiferet, which correlates to Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov was Tiferet, and that allowed him to have a more balanced nature, which allowed him to all have righteous kids and the Shvatim, and, again, it's described, in many different places throughout Chazal, Zohar, etc. But if you look at what an Akev is a heel. It's something that gives you support, but doesn't really have any intrinsic value on its own. It helps you stand up, but it doesn't really have many nerves in it, as I had heard on Shabbos. It's something that is functional, but it's not dynamic. And if you just are supporting yourself with a mundane heel, then you really don't have anything. You risk falling. And essentially, it could be your Achilles heel, because you feel like you're well supported, but you're not. But if you put that yud in front of it, and you realize that everything that you have, then what's really supporting you is the spirituality, the yud, which represents spirituality. It's Hashem. It's the neshama that's in you that's supporting your goof. If your neshama wasn't in there, it wouldn't matter if you had a heel or not. You still couldn't stand because you'd be dead. So the fact that your neshama is in there, seeing that yud in front of the akev, that is something that gives it a whole different meaning, which is something that Yaakov was able to see, right? Avram paved the way, Yitzchak paved the way, Yaakov, in a sense, perfected it, which is why he is related to Emes, which is truth. Because when you realize that something in front of you, or in this case, something below you, which being your heel, is not exactly what it seems, it's not only your foot, it's not only that which you stand upon, but everything is connected to it. Your heel allows you to stand, but there's so many other parts of it. But what allows you to emotionally stand? What allows you to just exist, your neshama? What allows you to breathe? So that you don't have to lie down. Why are you you're not sick? I mean, obviously it goes on and on and on and on. So looking at the concept of just something in a very simplistic manner, you're going to ultimately fall because you don't have really with what to support yourself. But when you realize that you're connected, like Yaakov realized, and he was able to transmit it, and therefore you say he was flowing. And, there we go. I sort of tied it into the first bar, right? Then you can actually really, you can really truly connect to that which is above you. And we say, Ekev Tishma'un, right? Like, Shomea is not just to listen, it's to perceive. It's to realize things are more than what they seem on the surface, right? You're not just hearing sounds and like, okay, A is A and B is B, red is red, whatever. It's, this is this sound, this is that sound. Everything has a meaning. Everything has an intrinsic meaning. And when you perceive something, and obviously there's an infinite amount of levels that you can perceive it. But that's what Hashem wants of you, whether they're chukim or whether they're mishpatim, regardless of what aspect of life you're living in, whether it's even looking at specialness in the mundane or looking at the very spiritual. Everything is rooted and based in Hashem, in Torah, and, in the connection that you have to Hashem. And as Klal Yisrael, we hopefully have that. And Shabbos is a time that we can hopefully reflect on it a little more clearly because we're not necessarily as busy as we are during the rest of the week. So I wish you all an amazing and spiritual and flowing week and Shabbos and the koach to be able to flow with positivity, energy, and perspective into the upcoming week. Shabbat Shalom and be well.